Wow, that was just... We expect y'all to top that next Sunday. Don't you appreciate the time, the effort, the work they put into all this to enable us in our worship? Boy, man. It was just awesome. This is a topic we're going to talk about today I have never preached on, ever. And let me just give you a couple of scriptures here, because we've landed in Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. And then over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, if you have that, Linda, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9, these are just supporting verses. Be hospitable. There's our word to one another without grumbling. I put a little something here on the screen I wrote. He's telling us to continue in love. Actually, the word love there, the Greek word love there, is the word Philadelphia. That's where they get that word over. And what's that state? Pennsylvania, right? Here we go. Philadelphia. That word is used there. So really the subject is hospitality. And in a few moments, I'm going to give you, I thought about three thoughts when it comes to hospitality. I thought about a public demonstration of that, meaning like in the world, okay, your world. And then I thought about a personal little application of hospitality. That would be your home. And then I had a third little thought, and I thought about a private application, and that would be your heart and your relationship with God and making Him feel at home. So those were kind of my little thoughts that I was thinking. However, you know, when it comes to hospitality, I mean, this was, boy, I had to really dig in. So what I did was I called my mother-in-law and I asked her to help me, and she gave me some introductory remarks. She had a lot of stuff. She used to go around speaking, because she is the queen of hospitality. And so anyway, she made some comments here as an introduction. I just want to read some of these things that she said. She said there was a cookbook that she bought from Jackson, Mississippi. And she said the photography in it is very unique. Each section is illustrated by doors, but all the doors are ajar where you can see into a lovely room, an inviting garden, or a country church. Each door seems to say, come on in. No need to knock. There is hospitality here. You are welcome. Don't we all want to feel welcome? Sadie says. She then remarks about Elizabeth Elliot in her book, Shaping a Christian Family. Elizabeth lists 9 requirements for a rule of life in a Christian's practice. And one of those 9 is hospitality. She defines it as a willingness to share what you have. She goes on to say we are commanded to share what we have. The encyclopedia defines it to behave in a warm way and manner, making others feel comfortable. And she writes, at home. And I would say in comfortable, whether it's in the world, in your home, or Christ in your heart. Every Christian, Sadie says, has a role given by God in the field of hospitality. So I wanted to talk about it a little bit. And I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about this text. God and the supporting verses in particular commands us to be hospitable to others, to share what we have. And sometimes we don't have a lot, but we have a life that God has given us, and we can share that life with others. And so I thought the first place we want to do that is in the world, you know, where we go to work, where we go to school in particular. You know, I know hospitality has its limits, but I was in San Francisco, and I'd go to Safeway, you know, every other day to buy some things. They had a little kitchen where we lived in the dorm. And sometimes I'd go there for lunch, and I'd just sit there in my car in the parking lot, and that's where I would call Allison and talk to her about her day and all that kind of stuff. Well, I was there and roll the windows down. You know, the temperature was really nice, and so I would just sit there. Well, I was sitting there, I was talking to her, and this guy pulled up about three spaces to the right of me, and he got out of his car, and he was looking at me as he was walking towards the store, and he was making all these hand gestures. And I'm like, what? Wow. And he was like yelling and screaming. And I thought, well, I looked in my rearview mirror. I thought, well, he must be talking to somebody behind me or something. And he just looked totally irritated and mad. And I really couldn't hear what he was saying because I was talking to Allison on the phone. And my hearing's bad anyway. So he went into the store, and I was still talking to Allison. And then he came back. And let me see if I can make a new one here. And so he comes back and he starts doing the same thing. He's making all these hand gestures and he's yelling and screaming. And I'm thinking, he must be talking to somebody else. I'm just sitting in my car talking to my wife on the phone. And finally he goes over to his car. And so I'm like, well, okay, you know, I don't know what that was about. So I'm still talking to Allison. And then he comes over because my window's over. He gets out of his car, comes over to my car, and he starts screaming through my window. And he says, don't you realize you're parked so badly nobody can even get in this parking lot? And he just went off. And let me just tell you where my car was. I rented a little Hyundai, okay? So here's the parking space that I was in. And yes, he's right, I wasn't perfect in it, but I was kind of like, you know, kind of something like that. Okay? So I'm still in my lines, okay? I'm not outside my lines. I'm just sticking out a little bit, you know, further than these lines right here. And the other cars, I mean, they're way over here. I got this little Hyundai. So he's all irate and screaming. So my first thought is, you know, I'm about three times bigger than he is. I ought to just get out of my car and ask him, man, are you the parking lot police, man? And then I thought, my second thought was, you know, I think this is what they call road rage. And then I got to thinking about hospitality. And I got to thinking, you know, it really wouldn't be very hospitable if I got out there and, you know, slapped the guy around a little bit. So I did, I think, what the best thing was that I could do. I just didn't say anything. And he didn't know it, but I was really being hospitable to him. Before he left, by the way, I backed up and I parked in here just perfect. And then he felt better as he drove off. Well, but, you know, but sometimes that's the kind of world that we live in. You know, the world is sometimes hostile. And sometimes people won't allow you to really show love and express that to them. We were in Starbucks. We go to Starbucks every morning. And I've got to hurry here. We were in Starbucks, and Brian, he's from Utah. He pastors in Utah. Josh is over in Augusta, Georgia, where the Masters is. It's a tough place to, you know, have to be in a church. And so they're sitting across from me. Well, there's people all around us, and they're reading their papers. They're working on the computer. This is one of the richest places in the United States. These people are snobby, man. I mean, you know how we wave at everybody. Well, I thought they do that over there in the Bay Area. So every time I was in my car, I'm waving at people. They're walking down the street, and I'm waving, and they just do this, you know. So Brian's across. He's across the table from me at Starbucks. So I said, Brian, tell me how to become a Christian. Brian says, what are you talking about, man? He's thinking, you're already a Christian. What do you want me to do that? I said, Brian, tell me. He didn't finally get it until about 3 minutes later. Oh, I get it, you know. Kind of said it under his breath, so he started witnessing to me. And I knew those people around us were listening to us. And then Carney shows up. He gets his little biscuit and coffee, and he sits down. Well, we're ready to go. He said, hey, we'll see you in class. By the time Carney shows, catches up with us in class, he says, I can't believe y'all left me there, man. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, the guy next to me heard your whole conversation. And he got up and he pointed his finger in my face and he said, I'm so glad those Christians are gone. I hate them. And I said, tough. You should have got there earlier, man. So not everybody will let you, you know, be hospitable to them. And it has its limits. But nevertheless, according to Miss Sadie and the Scripture, not in that order, but God has commanded us to be hospitable to each other, to express love to each other. You know what that means? It means that we are listening to people. We're not doing all the talking. And that's where preachers get in trouble sometimes. They know all this stuff, you know, that they've been studying, and they're ahead of the curve than most people, and they want to tell them how much they know. And sometimes people really just, they're not there yet. They really want to know, do you care about them and care what they have to say? And so showing hospitality to people out there in the world, part of that is just listening and showing that you think they are valuable. Okay? Now, you want to practice on this stuff. Now, I want to ask you something. Where you are now? I want to see where you are. I want you to take a little test. And here's the test. Linda, I want you to show them this little video. And I want you, there's a couple different characters, two characters in this thing. I want you to ask yourself which one you are. Does that say it all? When people see you coming down to the grocery aisle, do they say, oh, there's Grumpy? Snow White, when you watch that movie, I was watching some of it. She was trying to be so hospitable with the dwarves. She showed compassion for them and love for them. She valued who they were. Well, I think that's what God wants us to do. Now, I asked Allison, there she is. Come on up, Allison. I asked her to share a couple of stories. Just share one story. We don't have time for two. Talk about the invitation one. Okay? Do that one.
Mike and I were talking about hospitality this week, and he wanted me to share this story. When we were engaged, when we first got engaged almost 25 years ago, my parents were in the closet, and they, I guess they couldn't believe when I was trying to do the marrying, and so it's very quiet. And my dad was president of Houston Baptist University, and they lived on the campus in the president's home. So this house was like really, really big. And then across the street from them, was 6 lanes of highway, and that was their next door neighbors. So there you go. So our wedding really became my mother's wedding, and I really didn't care. I was a buyer of hers, and I just was in love with Mike and wanted to be married. And so my mom planned the whole thing. I didn't know what flowers. I basically just knew where we were getting married and tried on my dress. I was very bright. So my only responsibility, because I got a 35% discount at Dillard's, was to order a wedding invitation. And Mom sent me the list of guests. Mike knew two people, and I knew out of 900 people. And it was very intimate. And so he Those of y'all that know my mother, she is the Southern belle to the max. Anybody named Lucy Ann is a Southern lady. And so I handed her the invitation, and I'm her only daughter, so she took it and she held it to her chest. And she just started reading it out loud, you know, Dr. and Mrs. Edie Hodo announced, you know, their daughter is finally getting married again. So anyway, she read through the whole invitation. She wiped a tear from her eye. It was a very moving moment. And she picked up the return response. And when she looked at that over, and then she flipped to the envelope that was to be mailed back. And I had put the wrong address down on the return response card, which is not really a big deal, I guess, like in Floresville, you know, but in Houston, Texas, it's a big deal. And it was six lanes of highway to 1706 Bonner instead of 1704. Needless to say, my parents didn't know anything. And so I was only probably my mom really angry once in my life, and that was it. She went nuts. God bless her. She did.
Don't take that, please.
She was like, I gave you one responsibility, and that's why you messed it up. And oh my goodness, we're not going to know how many people are coming. And I'm crying. She's crying. And so she comes up with a plan. And her plan is that she is going to stalk this 1706 monitor. And she's going to see who's living there. And so she goes over the six lanes and she knocks, you know, during the day. And then she has dad fly her over there at night, and they're knocking. Nobody's answering. Day one goes, day two, day three. Finally, she's getting hysterical because she is envisioning that invitations are just coming in by the droves and they're lost forever. And so she's beating on the door. Literally beating on 1706 Bonner. And she turns to leave, and she says, she hears this voice, and it says, don't leave. Oh, I'm coming, don't leave. So a lady named Myrtle Patton answered the door, and Myrtle Patton said, I heard you the last 3 days, but I couldn't get there. Well, it turned out that Myrtle had Huntington's disease. She was a widow. She had no children. She had no family. She had a lady that came in every 2 weeks to bathe her. She couldn't stand long enough to fix her anything. She was eating out of cans, just anything that she could heat up in the microwave. So my parents began to take care of her, and really took care of her the last 2 years that she was alive. So my mom called me after she had visited with Ms. Patton, and she said, you know, Allison, we thought it was a mistake, but she said, God does not make any mistakes. And, you know, sometimes the Lord sort of forces us to have, you know, gives us opportunities for treating other people with hospitality or ministering to them. In this case, God knew that Myrtle Patton lived six lanes over from my parents' house, and that she needed help. And that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's good, Allison. So the key, what I want you to think about when you think about the world, is being intentional in all three of these areas, being intentional and being hospitable to other people, because there are some people you're going to run into that God has already prepared their hearts. And He has designed a plan for you to intervene in their life. When I'm saying hospitable, I'm saying you're trying to make this person feel welcome in the world. Welcome as a human being. Welcome as a person that God created and that God loves. That is our job, and we need to be intentional in doing that. Now, we've got to move along. Okay, so then we come over here and we come from public to personal. God wants us to be intentional in our hospitality, in our personal lives. So this would be like inviting someone over into your home. Now, I know what a lot of people are thinking. Oh, my home is, you know, I got to clean it up for people to come over and do that. Listen, all you got to do is just throw all this stuff behind the doors from the living room. Just clean the living room and throw everything behind the doors. That's what we do when people come over. My job, Allison, when they come over, she's in there in the kitchen. My job is to entertain the men in the living room with the football game on. I can do that. And I tell them, in fact, Yogi came over one day and I told him, I said, take your shoes off, man. I want you to feel welcome. He took his shoes off. And then he took his socks off. I thought, I don't know that I want to go that far in hospitality. I'm just kidding. My mother-in-law said, Sadie said, you know, it's not so much important, not so important as what's on the table, as who's in the chair. She said, a lot of children today don't even know what leaves are. They think they're just things that grow on trees because their parents have never pulled the leaves out of the dining room table. You see, that's what we're trying to change. She said, Sadie said, that some people find it easy and they're gifted in hospitality. Other people have to acquire it. She said, but all of us should nurture it. All of us should work at it. All of us should make a decision. Now, you may not be the best cook in the world. That's okay. You know what? To have somebody over, you don't have to cook. You don't have to cook a five-course meal. You could have somebody over for pie and coffee. And you say, well, I don't do very good pies. Go to H-E-B. They got pies. Now, take it out of the thing. Put it on a plate. Because you want them to feel special, right? You know what it does. And, or, you know, you could say, hey, let's go down to Dairy Queen, just us. We'll go down there and visit and have an ice cream cone. What does that do for somebody? It goes a long way. And you know what she was saying, Sadie was saying in her little thing that she wrote up. She said, and we're always going to have excuses. They'll always be with you. Get over them. Get through them. Make a decision to follow the command, to be hospitable to other people, to welcome other people in your life and their worth and their value by listening to them, by spending a little time with them. And she said, you know what? There's not always going to, not only is there always going to be excuses, there's always going to be interruptions. And she referenced the Good Samaritan. He had a mission. He was on the way. He had a purpose. He had an agenda. He had a schedule to meet. But somebody along the way needed some help. And so he stopped. Unlike the other two religious people. Well, God wants us in our personal lives to be hospitable to other people. And isn't that what Fifth Sunday is all about? Isn't that why we eat together? Hey, when you eat today, find somebody you don't know. Don't just eat with the same group. Get to know somebody else. That's what it's all about. I mean, boy, the one major thing we want to do here, and in every church, not just our church, is we want to make people feel welcome because they are. We're not trying to fake them out. We're really glad they're here, and we love them, we care about them, and we value them, and we value what they say and their presence. And we want our actions to show that, like Snow White, not like Grumpy. And finally, we go from public to personal to private. John 14:23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Sadie said, the perfect host is God. He wants to feel at home in your heart. How do we do that? in our private life. Once we come to know the Lord, then we begin to make decisions that are in agreement with His Word and His will. The more we are in agreement, the closer we are in agreement with God's purpose and will for our lives, the more at home He feels in our hearts. One of the things that I share with people who've just come to know the Lord is the first thing you need to do is make public what you've done in private. You've already asked Jesus to come into your life. Now God's will for your life is to make that public through the mode of baptism. Because that says to the world, I'm not ashamed of God. In fact, I'm glad He's made His home in my heart, and I want everyone to know it. You see, the Christian life is about making decisions. God has given you that freedom. The job of the preacher, as he's working through the Word of God like we've done today, is not to say, well, you better do this and you better do that, and to make you feel this pressure or manipulation. The job of the preacher is to express God's will and lay it on the table so that you can make a decision, a free decision. God is such a wonderful host that in Psalm 23, He said that He will prepare a table for us, before us, in the presence of our enemies. God is such a wonderful host that He seats us at a table where all the fear is gone, where we feel love from our Heavenly Father, where we feel His acceptance, where we feel that God values who we are, so much so that He sent His Son to die on the cross for each of us. Make a decision. Don't be like Grumpy. Be more like Snow White. Be hospitable to people in the world. Be hospitable to people in your home. And be hospitable to the Lord in your heart. Let's pray. Make the decision. That's what the text is about. In spite of excuses and interruptions, in spite of whether we feel called to something or we don't, we're going to make a decision to follow the command of Jesus Christ. To be hospitable to one another. Maybe there's someone here today who has come to know the Lord, but you've never made what you did in private public, and you'd like to come forward to do that. And maybe join First Baptist Church and later be baptized on another day. Someone here may need to make a public decision, and that's why we're going to have an invitation. But it's for you to freely decide. There's no pressure. It's just between you and the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your words today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.